continually. Think of the works that he hath done, which admiration breed, his wonders and the judgments all which from his mouth proceed. O ye that are of Abraham's race, his seven will approving, and ye that Jacob's children are, whom he chose for his own. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6, give thanks to God. Once again, our Lord and our God, we seek to draw near to thee, to worship and to praise thy name. And we pray, Lord, that there would be upon us that reverence and regard for thyself. For we come not with an audience of others round about us. We do not come between kings and queens who rule over us, but we come before the Lord God Almighty. And so we pray that thou wouldst guide us and lead us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may have that proper spirit as we come before thee, that we might have that reverence and regard toward thee, that the words that we seek to express our praise and our worship, as well as the concerns and petitions in our prayers, may be carefully chosen as best we are able, and offered to thee this night, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is our hope as we come together again now. He is the one on whom we would lean all the more so for spiritual blessing, support. He is the one that we long for. He is the one we delight in. We pray, therefore, that thou wouldst come amongst us this evening. We may be but a small gathering out of the villages round about us, but those round about us have no idea whatsoever of the sheer delight given to thy people as we come aside and apart, just as we do now, to meet with thyself, to hear thy word, to feast upon it, and to go on our way from our meeting here this evening refreshed because we have spent some time with the Lord our God. And we pray that thou wouldst bring home to us more and more so the spiritual blessings which are graciously and fully bestowed upon thy people. For we do not earn, we cannot gain even the slightest of them. By the judgment of the righteousness of our God upon us, we are sinners condemned. And no matter what we might try to achieve or accomplish, we cannot remove that judgment from us. And the only way it can be removed is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his people, taking and paying the penalty that was due to them, so that they may go free. May we appreciate, O Lord, once again, the sheer lavish provision made for us. May we appreciate once again the enormity of that love which thou hast from all eternity towards thine own. May we, with some increasing understanding, have a measure of insight into the intricate and the delicate plans thou hast for thy people, so that no matter what might befall us, no matter what surprises there might be in the path of life to us, we know, O Lord, of the perfection of thy wisdom towards each and every one of thine own. For we are precious in thy sight. Our names are written on the palm of thine hand. Thine eye catches us in the crowd of life, and thine ear is stooped to catch the cry of our hearts. Lord, as we realize the great blessings belonging to every one of thy believing children, help us, Lord, not only to live in the way, in the exercise and experience of them, but even now tonight, to take the responsibility that also comes to be a worshipping, but to be also a praying people before thee. So we ask that thou would remember us, the homes we've come from and the families that we represent. We have in the silence of our hearts prayers and cries out to thyself for blessings upon those who are in particular need. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst look down upon us in our villages, that thou wouldst look down upon us in the churches that are scattered round about us, that thou wouldst come amongst us, O Lord, and make thyself known once again as the Lord God in the midst of his people. We are underneath the judgment of so many round about us who would seek to take any opportunity to put us down. But we pray, Lord, that we might be able to exhibit to so many others the blessing, that we might be able to share with others the good news, that we might point them to the hope that stands and set before thy people, the glory of Emmanuel's land and being with thyself. Remember the congregation, we pray thee, here gathered, as they vacant look for a replacement. Guidance we seek, O Lord, for those who have to lead and guide, and we pray that thou wouldst make thy mind known unto them. And in the meanwhile, keep them together. Bless them, O Lord, week by week in the ministry of thy word. And we pray that thou wouldst gather in others, that they might come seeking the bread of life at the table of the Lord. We ask thy blessing also, Lord, upon us in our wider communities. We know that there is COVID spreading here and there amongst us. We know the concern that that promotes in older people especially, but in all people generally. And we pray, Lord, that we might, even in these perplexing times, know what it is to bring all our concerns to thee, leave them with thee, and wait for thee to unfold thy purposes for us. Protect, meanwhile, those who are thine own. We ask thy guidance for those who have to make hard and long-lasting decisions. And we pray that thou wouldst especially guide them in the counsels of thy word. And remember thy word, O Lord, as it is preached and proclaimed from Sunday to Sunday. For this and this alone is the foundation on which we may stand with any degree of confidence for hope and life through death and eternity thereafter. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst pour out the blessings of heaven on the proclamation of this truth of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Open the eyes of those who are blind. Give life to those who are dead in their hearts. And pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst quicken their soul to seek after spiritual truth and experience. So we wait upon thee tonight afresh. Receive our worship. Hear the cries spoken and silent from our hearts. And make us, O Lord, to wait upon thee with expectancy of answers to follow these prayers. For we ask it all in the one name that is above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading this evening is in 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel and chapter 7, and we're reading verses 1 through 14. Shall we read and hear God's word? And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coasts thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And for our meditation this evening, I want us to come forward to the book of Psalms. Psalms and Psalm 124. Again, it's a short psalm, and we'll discover why as we go through our meditation. Only 8 verses. Let us then read these 8 verses. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the water had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I want us just to come to this psalm tonight. We have over these past week been very much hearing time after time of remembrance, World War I, World War II, and some other conflicts since these. Every one of us can, in one way or another, and for different reasons, we can remember the names of different places and battles in these conflicts. Well-known infamy, possibly. Psalm 19:16, the Battle of the Somme. We're reminded of the scale of the bombardment. Not a tree was left on the ground. Every time the shells landed, the ground itself shook. It could be heard. The flashes could be seen miles and miles and miles away. And in all of that, there was a fearful loss of life. Perhaps in a thumbnail sketch way of saying things, the Battle of the Somme, 20,000 people died before breakfast. At the time of the Battle of the Somme, there was what's called the PALS regiments. Like, for example, here in the villages, if one went up and signed on to one regiment, then all the rest followed them. They were PALS. They were going to serve in the same regiment, but what did that mean when that regiment was under attack and had suffered? There was a fearful loss for the regiment, but also for the community from which they had come. There's one battle, particularly in the First World War at Beaumont Hamel. And in that midst of that battle, there was Canadian forces, the Newfoundlanders, the Newfoundland Regiment. There were 800 soldiers signed up on that roll. And the day after the battle, when the roll call was taken, only 68 answered to their names. We remember other names like Pearl Harbor. We remember what Churchill said, never in the field of human conflict has so much been owed by so many to so few. We may remember the Kohima epitaph of the soldiers who were defending the advance of Japan into Burma and threatening to take India. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. So many different ways in which we can remember these conflicts. And some of these battles now become cemeteries in our memories. Thiepval, that big, huge war memorial, 72,000 without any known grave. And every single night since July 1928, in the town of Ypres in Belgium, at the Menin Gate, the firemen come out just before 8 o'clock at night. They stop the traffic going through the portals of the Menin Gate. And every night at 8 o'clock at night, they sound the last post. And apart from a few times through the war, the Second War, they've done that since 1928. Because they appreciate the freedom they now experience and the cost of receiving it. Yes, we have memories. We have remembrances. We have fearful things that happened in our history, times gone by. But in all of that activity, there's something we've forgotten. Or at least we don't hear very much about. We don't hear so much about how we owe so much to God for his help and for our deliverance as a nation and as a people. And even when the name of God is heard and when mention is made of him, it's only for a moment. It's soon forgotten. Until next time. God has his place in the life of us as a nation. We celebrate Easter. We have funerals. We have remembrances. We have weddings. But it's only a place. Between these times, God is disregarded, discounted, dismissed. Any claims he might make and anything he has to say to us as a people and as a nation. People want to shut the door against anything that God has to say. They don't want any input to our life from anything from God. But here tonight, here we are remembered, we're reminded that our ultimate help and our deliverance comes from our God. We're reminded of something, a truth and an experience we can let slip all too easily, not just from our personal life, but from our national life and our national thinking as well. So as we go through this and think of remembrance and the way in which the Lord has delivered, let's not just limit it to the national level in our thinking and application. Let's take all of these things that we're going to see in a moment right down to our own personal level. Here in Psalm 124, we have a memorial set up. We've heard of Thiepval. We've read there in 1 Samuel 7 of Ebenezer. Here is another memorial, a spiritual one. Here the psalmist is drawing together so many blessings, so many deliverances, so many victories that the people of the Lord have experienced at the hand of the Lord. And is using that remembrance to stimulate their faith, their praise, their obedience to the Lord. They're using that remembrance to feed and to develop an abiding trust and reliance on the Lord. Psalm 33 and verse 12 speaks about blessings coming on what kind of nation? On a nation where God is at the center of it. And that's what we need to reclaim and return to ourselves. So often people will say, well, all these things that you're saying, Minister, all these things that you're gathering together, they belong in a distant land. All these stories that you're telling us about, they've got the dust of history about them. If we want our nation to flourish again, we do well to remember the motive that is given to the city of Glasgow. It says, let Glasgow flourish. And so often people stop there. That indeed is a noble wish, desire for the city. But how is it obtained? How is it received, achieved? Let Glasgow flourish through the preaching of his word and the praising of his name. That's what we require to do and to be as a people once again. Not a mere formality, habit, or convention of dates. Not a single event now and again. We need to weave into our nation, as well as into our own private personal life and thinking, this concept of our help is from the Lord. He's done it in the past. And when it occurs in the future, we can look to him again to do it for us. This psalm is not just simply thinking of one specific time. This psalm is gathering together a pattern of behavior, commitment by God. It might be strange to say it, but our God is predictable. Our God is predictable because God has made a promise that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. He's made a covenant, and the terms of that covenant are known to us, that he will prosper us and bless us. And we need to take that woven into our life as individuals. Here the pattern has been set for us by the psalmist. Time after time they were confronted with a fearful enemy, set to wipe them out. But God delivered them. And the key word that comes time and again from all that the psalmist gives us here is that simple word, escape. Achieved only by the intervention of God. So I've taken time to set out the broad brushstrokes, to set a broad picture. And I want now to import into that picture four simple thoughts that are given to us from this psalm. The debt that is due, the destruction that was intended, the deliverance that was experienced, and the commitment that was deepened. Four simple words or headings. Let's go to the first one. The debt that was due. Verses 1 and 2. If had not been the Lord who was on our side, if had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. Sometimes when we read these words, we think that, well, here is the psalmist with a calm and a cool analytical heart giving us a cold expression of experience. No. Here we have a person who has just escaped from danger and threat. Here is a person who's just got into the place of safety and he's gasping out his experience. I've been saved. I've been delivered. Yes, escaped. Yes, been saved by the intervention of the Lord. There's no time markers given here. Here is the psalmist looking back over the history of the nation. Remember what we said about taking it down to our own level? I am recruiting your diary of life. You do the same as the psalmist has done with the nation. You flick back the pages. You see how many times this has been your experience. You've had a tight corner. You've been in a fight. You've been in a battle. Whatever it is, you can put it in of your own experiences. But you've got out of it. And how have you got out of it? Because the Lord has intervened. And there is a debt that is due. The consistent testimony and experience of the nation and of ourselves through all of these years. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let me ask the question. If the Lord had not been on our side, where would we be now? The debt that is due. This Psalm 124 is part of what's called the Book of Psalms, a part of the Songs of Ascent. Psalm 118 through to 133. And it was the Songs of Ascent because they were going up to Jerusalem. They went up on pilgrimage. Three great feasts that would take them up to Jerusalem. And there was no buses, there was no trains, there was no cars. There was a long journey in prospect. Sometimes they had to travel a long way from their home to the city of Jerusalem. And along the way, they would sing different songs by way of preparing themselves for getting to Jerusalem. That's why it's called the Songs of Ascent. Jerusalem was 2,500 feet high up the hills. They were going there. And at certain places along the road, they were singing these songs. And this psalm is a way of preparing the heart and the soul by simply remembering how many times God has helped them. How many times God has intervened and they are aware of the debt they owe to the Lord. How much we owe to the Lord for the scale, the lavish provision he has made for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It floods the mind, piles up on our soul, touches our heart and stimulates our worship. Just as you walk along the street to come to church, we're not climbing any hills. We're not singing on any corner, but we can talk with our soul. We can talk with our soul to stimulate ourselves about the debt we owe. And how important and vital that is today, because the pace of life today is so hectic. There's so much demanding of our energy, demanding of our time. There's so much that has to be done. And we need moments just like this, when we can be still, when we can remember, when we can realize just how much we owe to the protection and the intervention of God. Of it when we were going through it. And it's only as we sit down for a while in a quiet spot, only then when we look back, do we realize, well, I got through that only because of God's intervention. We can talk with our hearts. We can talk with our soul. And we can flick through the diary and pages of life and realize just how big the debt we owe to God. Without his intervention, how different things would be for each and every one of us now. Yes. The first thing, the debt that is owed. God's presence and intervention in and for his people. But the second thing that I want to take out of this psalm, not just simply the debt that is owed, but the destruction that was intended. Let there be no doubt Let there be no doubt of what the intention of the Philistines was against the Israelites. We read it there in 1 Samuel 7. It wasn't just a small skirmish on the border over a few feet here or a few feet there that somebody wanted to move the fence posts or the stones just a little bit. No. It wasn't that scale at all. It wasn't a small, insignificant event. It wasn't just the question, well, I've always parked my car here, and you aren't. What was the destruction that was intended? They would be utterly lost. Somebody just bolts into the house, slams the door closed, speaks all they've been through, and realizes, wow, that was close. And it wasn't a little flourish. There was deliberate intent on a scale that is so amazing of this person, spiritual forces, other nations, whatever scale we're using, but whatever it is, it's against this person or that nation. And that destruction is brought out to us very clearly in two very simple lessons from this psalm. First of all, verse 3, then they had swallowed us up quickly when their wrath was kindled against us. The destruction was going to be total. It's somebody, a monster, a big animal, has got their prey cornered. Just a couple of nights I've been watching something on YouTube about the way in which whales were attacking a seal, and it was taking refuge on the top of a block of ice, and the whales actually get together in a pack and they start swimming towards it to create a wave which would upset the flow and put the seal in the water. They wouldn't go after the seal face on, but they would wait until the seal was getting out of the water, and they would grab the tail of the seal and pull it down. It wasn't just a little nibble that they were wanting. They were after lock, stock, and barrel. The nation was going to be swallowed alive. That's what the Philistines were after. That's the scale of destruction intended by spiritual forces against God's people today. They've not gone away. The spiritual enemy is still there with us with the same intentions today as in days gone past. The devil seeks to destroy all things Christian. There's a battle today engaged in society over the norms and standards of this book, which God has given for the good of our society. There's a battle in our own spiritual lives as we seek to foster and mature a Christian character with ourselves. Whatever interest it might be, as we turn towards things Christian, on whatever scale it is done, whenever that turning to Christian things takes place, then we know something of the destruction that's intended. Seeking to totally destroy, seeking totally to distract, seeking to take away every sign of spiritual interest from ourselves or from anyone else. Total destruction, and nothing else but that is intended. But not only is it total destruction, we're also told here in verse 4 that it is sudden destruction. Total, suddenly. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our soul. There was no warning whatsoever of the approach of the enemy. Everything was calm. The image that's given here is, again, YouTube is very good at illustrating some things. You can go on there and you can look at, especially in America, where they've got great canyons. And there's a dried out riverbed going underneath the road. And you hear a rumble in the distance. The sun is shining, it's dry and everything else. But you hear a rumble in the distance, and very quickly there is an almighty deluge of mud, logs and debris comes down that bed underneath that road, and it soon, very soon, backs up. Without any warning, it's upon you. No warning whatsoever to so many of the attacks that come our way. We may be surprised, but the Lord is not. All it might take, just a phone call, a letter, a short visit by someone else, or maybe just an appointment that has to be made. But it's all sudden, and it opens a door on the scale of this destruction that they speak of, that we might know. Life that once seemed to be so secure and solid suddenly begins to crack and to come apart at the seams. And if we're on our own, that might well be the outcome. But for our nation as well as for ourselves individually, the Lord is indeed intervening to thwart, to protect, to preserve his people. The debt that is due, the destruction that was intended, the deliverance that was experienced. Thirdly, let's move on quicker. Verse 6. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Despite all the appearance that might be put by human judgment, they are not going to be destroyed. Oh yes, the animal, the lion might have the person or the animal trapped in a corner and is about to fall upon that animal to destroy it totally. The conclusion that we might draw on, well, it's obvious what's going to happen here. It's obvious who's going to win this battle. You're finished, you're done for. But that kind of thinking takes no account whatsoever of the interests and the involvement of the Lord. When the Lord God comes onto the field of battle in the Christian's life, when the Lord God enters the situation facing his own people, his presence known, his presence deployed, things then turn out different. Today, people think that, well, if we can squeeze God out of our life, then we'll get on better in life. Today, the thinking is that, well, if we can squeeze God out, life will be so different for us. And then something disastrous comes upon them, and they can't cope. And the only way that they can survive is when the Lord is called upon and the Lord enters the scene. He is the one and only the one that will make the difference. They were about to be devoured, but they were not. You think of a bird, a net is thrown over the bird, that's what it's talked about here. And the bird is captured, and it's struggling, and it's getting more and more tied up in the net. But then someone comes along and rips the net open, and the bird escapes and flies away. So the Lord does for his people. It's true of Israel, it's true of that people long ago, but it's also true of us as a nation, and it's true of us individually. Our memories can roam back over our days. We can come across a situation in our diary where we were unable to cope. All our energy was gone. We couldn't find a way of escape. Boxed in with no way out. And all we can do at that time is pray. And into that helpless and hopeless situation, a door is opened, an escape is possible, from a source that we never thought it could be. And that deliverance comes only from the intervention of the Lord. He does it. He brings it about. Exactly like this psalm speaks of. So there we have, yes, the debt that's due, yes, the destruction intended, yes, the deliverance experience. The last thought, the deepening of the commitment. Come back to the questions, rhetorical questions that were asked in the very first verse. What's the point of all of this? We said this is a person who's been panting because they've suddenly escaped the danger and the threat, and they're now in a place of safety. What's the effect of that experience? The debt that they felt. Yes, we've been saved. So what? Is that what his reaction? Quite the reverse. Here we have, first of all, a deeper commitment of worship. We come together here Wednesdays and Sundays, and it's not just simply the way we dress. It's not just simply the way we prepared. It's not just simply the words upon our lips. The Lord takes a cushion off the sofa and unzips the back of the cushion to find out what's on the inside. That's what the Lord does with us. He unzips us. Because it's not just words alone that are important to the Lord. Our worship must well up from deep within our soul. We must feel the weight of the blessings we've experienced and had from his hand. This is the doing of the Lord, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Yes, a deeper commitment to worship. It's only because we know what God has done that we can sing as we should. It tells us in chapter 3, you must be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Very well. Why do we come to church? Why do we follow the Lord? Why do we live the way we live? Simple, solid, but searching questions. Why do we do that? Only because of what God has done for us. Our worship. Something else. Not only is there a deepening of commitment in worship, but there's also a deepening of our faith. We turn to the past as we've been doing. We've been looking at the way in which the Lord has helped us. These people are come from their own villages, and they can think of the history when they were traveling up to Jerusalem. We can think of the path of life that we've been on ourselves, and we can gather together a compendium of all the ways in which God has helped us. And as we do that, we then turn our face to the future. And come what may, and it may come. Come what may, troubles and problems and difficulties. But we can face them, strengthened in our faith and realizing what God has done in the past. God of us hath mindful been, Psalm 115. God of us hath mindful been, and he will bless us still. All the richness of God's character, involvement, commitment. Riches of God's intervention and interest for the good of his people gather together. And we can experience a taste of it from the past, and it encourages us for the future. God will remain a helper to the nation and the people. Yes, a deepening of worship, a strengthening of our faith. One last thought, and we're finished. We've been looking at and thinking of the great blessings. But as these blessings are experienced, there's a great responsibility comes with them. Yes, the responsibility of relying and trusting in the Lord, faith. We might think of what we would have been like if the Lord had not intervened. And the only way we can explain the change, why didn't things turn out badly for us, we can only explain it because God intervened. But what is the consequence of that intervention? Privilege brings responsibility. Blessing deepens our love, and blessing promotes our obedience. When we realize what God has done for us, we take much, much more seriously what God requires of us. So it comes down to ourselves as we close tonight. The deliverances we've experienced from God's hand, the debt we owe, the destruction that was intended behind so many of them that come our way, the deliverance we've experienced from God, all of them we can take together. And as we recognize and as we remind ourselves of God's blessings to us in the past, so therefore we're deepened in our worship that it hasn't been so. We were not destroyed. We can take these things and strengthen our faith. Thus, what happens in the future, we can look back to the past and be strengthened by it. And yes, we can think of what tremendous things God has done for us. Great blessings. Let these things, therefore, promote our obedience to be more careful in how we live, to be more careful in what we do, to be more exact in what God requires from us. He looks for that priority in our living, in our thinking, the devotion of our heart and our soul, the commitment and the maturing of our Christian life, all because of what he has done for us. Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, once again we bless thy name for the way in which thou hast, in wonderful ways, demonstrated thine interest and concern for thy people. We see it magnified in the cross and the sending of thy Son, but in all other lesser problems that are ours in our Christian life, we can face them drawing from that commitment made in Christ that nothing, but nothing, will separate us from that love in Jesus Christ. May we therefore live in the light and application of what we know and discover of thyself, and make us careful, Lord, to worship thee, to love thee, and to obey thee passionately for all that thou hast done for us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray it. Amen. Let us close our service and our gathering here tonight by singing that Psalm 46. From 7 through to 11, the Lord of hosts upon our side doth constantly remain. The God of Jacob's our refuge, us safely to maintain. Particularly as we're reading and singing these words in the light of what we were meditating tonight. Come and behold what wondrous works have by the Lord been wrought. Come, see what desolations he on the earth hath brought. Unto the ends of all the earth, wars into peace he turns. The bow he breaks, the spear he cuts, and fire the chariot burns. And then these words, be still and know that I am God. Among the heathen I will be exalted. I on earth will be exalted high. Our God, who is the Lord of hosts, is still upon our side. The God of Jacob, our refuge, forever will abide. Psalm 46, the Lord of hosts upon our side.
The Lord of hosts upon our side, the God.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit